Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back as we're in the end days of our week together. If you've been joining us, we're so blessed to have a great, fruitful conversation with Heather Kim. Heather is part of the Abiding Together podcast. She's out at Franciscan University. She is so amazing, and she's a good friend, and we've been walking together, and I'm so blessed just by her heart for the Lord and by the ways that she is leading people close to God's heart. And so I just want to encourage you, if you weren't able to listen, go back and listen to the first couple of days of this week that we were able to air from an interview that we did on the Good News Cruise a couple months back. And yeah, I was just really blessed by this interview, blessed by her steady wisdom. And so I want to encourage you to go listen. And we really kicked off that first day, and Heather shared so much wisdom about how she really engaged with God's word and shared how she loved the Gospel of John. And I know we've talked about that a lot on this podcast. So we really talked about her practices of scripture with the Lord, how she came to the Lord, how the Holy Spirit really helped enlighten God's word for her. And then over the next couple of days, we talked a lot about Christ dwelling in us. We read, and as you know from listening, if you listen, we read Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, and we really dove into those three verses, and particularly how Christ dwells in us, and what does it mean that Christ dwells in us, and that we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so we just want to take the next couple of days and wrap up those verses together. We're going to stay here in Ephesians chapter 1. It's so, so rich that you can't like really talk about it too much. And I know I've said so much on this show that Ephesians is a place where the Lord just has invited me to stay over and over and over again. And I find particularly in this Easter season, as we're coming up close to Pentecost, how over and over again, we've talked about almost every single week, friends, living in the reality of the resurrected Christ, letting the reality that the one who died and rose again lives in me permeate every single part of my reality, permeate every relationship, permeate every action that I do, permeate my thoughts. And it's not like the power of positive thinking, but really living in that. And I feel like Heather touched on that so well, of finding Christ that lives in us, finding Christ that lives in us. And as we begin today, I want to read those verses, but I just felt inspired to go through a bunch of verses just before we begin here and before we pray about God dwelling in us. Because I think this is a truth that in this season of my life, God is just hitting home for me. And again, I know this is a little repetitive from our conversation with Heather, but today, friends, what could happen in your life? How could God use you? What could your intimacy with the Lord be like if you come to a place of just loving so much that God dwells in you, of not looking out there at everywhere else God could be, but that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? So I'm just going to boom, 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 go through a bunch of verses to just prime the pump. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ephesians 3:17, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's another place Paul prays. Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you, the Spirit is alive in you because of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 13:5, do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? John 14, this is Jesus. We, meaning him and the Father, will come to him and make our home with him. 1 John 4, God abides in us and he has given us his Spirit. 1 John 4 again, God abides in him and he in God. 2 Corinthians 6, I will live in them and move among them. Romans 8, the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3, you are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Ezekiel 36, a promise, I will put my Spirit within you. There is so much that's barely just scratching the surface that the reality of what God has come to do is reconcile you to the Father, but not to be outside of you, not to be like, hey, you have to reach for something outside of you, and you can only get to heaven by reaching for something outside of you. God comes so close to us that he's saying, I'm coming into you. This is the power of the resurrection. That Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He's defeated death and made it possible for God to dwell so closely in us that you are a living temple. Again, I know we've said this so much and we did it this week on the show, but again, put your hand on your heart. I am a temple. I am a temple. I am a temple. God dwells in me. So Lord, we come before you, and even just as we open this episode, you know, in the middle, we've already done half the episode, but as we open this episode, we pray that grace would flow out of us, that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us would come alive and give us a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of understanding about who we are in Christ, a spirit to see the resurrected Lord living inside of us, radiating out of us, that we would become nothing, we would decrease so you may increase. Come now, right now, whether we're driving in our car, whether we're sitting in our prayer chair, that Lord, you would come and you would increase in us. Come and increase. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. And these are the verses that we read with Heather on the Good News Cruise a number of months ago. And so we're just going to see these last couple days. What does the Holy Spirit want to say to us now? That was a couple months ago. Let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to say about these verses now. So if you'll join me, I'm going to read 11 through 14, and then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So let's, like we always do, go verse by verse. What a beautiful set of verses. Right at the end there, that last verse 10 is, there's a plan for the fullness of time. God has set forth a plan in Christ, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to himself, all things in heaven and on earth. And now again, 11, in him. I want to stop there just in those two words. Paul will say this a lot, but it reminds me of in the Mass when we say through him and with him and in him. That there's this reality that God wants to bring us to, that he dwells in us, him in us and us in him. Him in us and us in him. Everything is held together through him, with him, and in him. And I love that verse 10. It says that the Father has set forth a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. And then Paul's going to say all these things that happen, but he's saying it's in him. It's in him. That one of the things that Paul does in Ephesians over and over and over again is he reminds us of the primacy of Christ. That everything that exists, and in Colossians says everything exists through him. In John it says, without him there is not a thing that was made that was not made in him. In him. Everything holds together in him. And so this reality that we talked about of us, Christ dwelling in us, the only reason that he dwells in us is because we dwell in him. Everything is in Christ. And so there's this even deeper way of saying, I am in him. I am in Christ. And there's a spiritual reality there. That when we've been baptized, we've been reconciled to the Father. And so our spiritual stance, our spiritual place with God is in Christ. It's in Christ. And I think a lot of times we don't. I just started this book about being in Christ. To be in Christ, what means you no longer stand before God on your own. You belong to Jesus like a branch belongs to a vine. To be in Christ, you are spiritually united to Jesus so that what belongs to him becomes yours. You are in Christ. Is that how you stand before the Father? Is that how you see yourself every day? This book that I was reading, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Maybe I can pull it up on my Kindle. But it was about being in Christ. It was about enjoying Christ because we are in Christ. And this book, Union with Christ, the blessings of being in Him. The blessings of being in Christ. And it says, if you are in Christ, if you belong to Him, this is truly who you are. And the person who was writing this book, the author, as they call it, the person who's writing this book, the author of this book was saying, if Paul were to describe himself, the first way he would describe himself was that he's in Christ, a man in Christ, a woman in Christ. Is that how we would describe ourselves? Do we see everything, including ourselves, as in Him? So what becomes true? We're on the first two words, in Him. What becomes true if you are in Christ? Right? If anyone is in Christ, Paul says, behold, he's a new creation. That's from Corinthians. So you are in Christ. You're a new creation. You share in His life. You share in His death. His grace lives in you. Your old self and sin are meant to die. You share in His resurrection. You receive new life and now eternal life after. You are adopted as God's child. God becomes your Father. You are justified. God counts you righteous because of Christ. You are part of His body, the church. You are not isolated, but joined to His people. You are in Christ through faith and baptism, baptized into Christ's death and raised with Him. In Galatians, you are baptized into Christ so you can put Him on. So friends, even just in those first two words, it's presenting a reality. God has set forth a plan for all creation through the end of time. And He's chosen, He's particularly chosen for that plan to reach its fulfillment, but to also happen through His Son and in His Son. And we receive all the promises of Christ that we see in Ephesians 1, right? That we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, that we are destined in love, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed by His blood. All of these things that we're talking about in Him. And I love he says, in Him, according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel of His will. Who is He who accomplishes all things? The Father in Jesus, His Son. So he's basically saying in Him twice. He's saying in Him, according to the one who accomplishes all things. In Him, according to Jesus. In Him and according to Jesus. This is how everything happens in your life. This is how the will of God unfolds in your life. This is the foundation of dependence that we're walking Him in. And we can hear it over and over and over and over again. When you get up in the morning, when you go about your day, when you face your circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stressful, the happy, the joyful, whatever it is. You know, it was funny today, a coworker of mine, she asked me, she's like, how are things going? And I was like, honestly, I'm at the point of the time in Michigan where the weather is 100% dictating my mood, right? Even if it's just as simple as that, if you're in a bad mood because of bad weather or you're happy because it's sunny, whatever it is, the reality is, it sounds trite, but you are in Him and everything is happening to you according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things. I don't know about you, but that changes my mindset. That changes the way that I'm walking. That changes the confidence that I'm living in. And God wants us to walk in confidence because we are in Christ. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up this section of verses. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net. and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.